love Smooch. It is a good time to dive into the world of salacious scandals, murdery aristocrats, and the fight for the crown of England. Today's mission is to look back at the royals, a fictionalized take on the British royal family with little bearing on reality, or does it? To take on this soapy mission, I have Agent Kathy Campbell with me. Hello, Kathy.
Hello, Director Annette. I am here and ready.
So ready. And we also have the agent who lured us both into this mission with promises of hotness and drama, Agent Kirsten Gorick. Hello, Kirsten.
Hello, and you're both very welcome.
Thank you. I am grateful. The Royals is headed by King Simon and his Queen Helena, hello Elizabeth Hurley, who have three children, the eldest Robert and the twins Liam and Eleanor, also called Lynn. Robert dies tragically in a military mission in the series pilot, which thrust the twins forward in succession and the public spotlight. Cyrus, the king's brother, is hot on their heels and everyone is maneuvering for power. And then King Simon says he's going to put a referendum for it to end the monarchy, and the proverbial shit hits the fan. And this is just the pilot. We are going to discuss this sort of orderly, but we are going to start sort of like a... Well, you can't even like not spoil things because there's so much happening even just in the pilot. But we're gonna like sort of have a spoiler light discussion before we like start getting into this show and just sort of make our pitch for why we think you should watch it if you haven't already. Let's start with you, Kirsten, since you are the initiator who told us we need to watch this.
Since it's your fault.
It is your fault.
It's my fault you're all here right now. I was trying to remember this morning why I even started watching the show, because it's been on my radar for years. I actually watched at least the last couple seasons in real time, where I had to wait like a normal person and couldn't binge.
I'm so sorry.
I know. It was brutal. But I think I love all things royal, even when they're not accurate. And so I think that's probably what drew me to this initially. I remember blowing through probably, I think it was the first two seasons, rather quickly. I think what I love about it is that it's the perfect kind of fluffy, interesting, insane melodrama that I love. But I think I mentioned this to you, Annette, when I was pitching it to you, but now that I've been fully indoctrinated in the Schitt's Creek world, I really feel like there are similar sort of character arc developments, and that reminds me of Schitt's Creek. You know, these flawed people who love deeply sort of learn to grow, and they don't lose the core of who they are, but ultimately they all sort of become some version of themselves that is moderately better. They're different degrees of that, depending on who you're looking at in terms of characters.
It's like, for some of the characters.
Right. Not everybody, but some of them.
We still
and
need
I think
villains.
That it's really satisfying to see that come together as an audience. And so that was something that I really enjoyed over the four seasons. I think if you sort of kept those pilot characters and they didn't do anything different and didn't learn to grow, that it would get really old really quickly. And so that's really why I loved it and was so taken with it right away.
I agree about the comparison with Schitt's Creek. This morning, as I was, you know, mentally gearing to get ready for this show, I had that same thought of the character arcs and the transition from characters that are so selfish and hateful and like, why do I like these people, into, oh my goodness, the character growth and the kindness that they're showing in themselves and who they've become is just so wonderful to see. And so I 100% agree on the comparison to Schitt's Creek. So if you like Schitt's Creek, specifically, can we talk about the costuming and hair and makeup?
So good.
Yes.
So good. So if that, if you enjoyed that a lot, well, then I highly recommend The Royals. It's on Amazon Prime, which is actually, so when I started watching it, I only got through the first couple episodes, partially because it was on Amazon Prime. And I I have a large range of streaming services, and I always forget to look on Prime. So I forgot about the show. I think when I rewatched it, I got to episode 3 is when I no longer had the, you've already seen this, do you want to start over from the beginning option? And so I didn't stop at episode 3 this time.
I am going to compare it to another show and say Jane the Virgin.
Oh, I like that.
So totally different, but Jane the Virgin, another show that Kirsten and I love and have watched together. We watched the series finale together. Remember when we could?
We did. We ordered takeout and everything.
Yeah, we even had like arepas and everything. Anyways, we love that show. And it's like that same sort of soapy drama ridiculousness that you kind of expect like in soap opera world, but at the same time it has a lot of heart, and I think that's kind of what draws you through. It's like, yes, the like, oh no, what's gonna happen, but also you just really like some of the characters and they become really beloved and you're really invested in them while still being super fun and escapist and ridiculous and like you just never know what's going to happen. And that's what I like about it. But I totally, Schitt's Creek, a good sort of element for that character arc and development and the familiness of it, because it, at its heart, yes, it is a family that is at the center of the story.
Yeah, and family is the one consistent thing that is important to all of the members of the show, really.
Yep.
Even when they're so angry at each other and squabbling and whatnot, they always come together as a family. And I think that is very similar to Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But it is basically like a mirror image of the real world. No, it's not at all.
No.
It's exactly the same, you okay. guys.
So here is, so again, mental prep work for this show. I assume, so in my mind, my headcanon is that this is the line that would happen if John of Gaunt and Catherine Swineford's children were not legitimized.
I don't even know what that means.
So back before the Tudors, before all of that, in the 14th century, John of Gaunt, who is the father of Edward the Fifth, whoever. Okay, so you've seen the movie The Knight's Tale, right?
Yes.
Yes, I have. I love that movie.
Okay. Well, so the Black Prince?
Yes. Okay, go on.
So his son, Richard the Second, was overthrown by John of Gaunt's son, Edward, whatever number it was. And that became the impetus of the, what is it, the War of the Roses.
Yep.
The Lancasters versus the whoever the other family was. This is, hold on.
The Targaryens. No, I'm just
kidding. The Henshaws, maybe?
Yes, exactly. The Lancasters versus the House of York.
Okay, yep.
So the Red Roses versus the White Roses. Anyways, so John of Gaunt was the Black Prince's brother. He was the third son. He never became king, clearly, but his line of children, the Lancasters, were many, many kings and queens. Like the Tudor line is all from his children with Catherine, who was his mistress, who then became his third wife. And the four children that they had while she was his mistress became legitimized by the Pope. And so that's why we have the Tudors. That's why we have along lines.
They're like these royals sitting on their high horse about divorce and legitimacy are, it's all fraud. It's all fraud.
Because the people in charge can make up the rules.
Of course they can.
How it works. Yeah. So that's my random tangent. And the reason I know all of this is because I was named after Catherine Swineford and the book that my mom read called Catherine by Anya Seton. And so like that's how I know that whole period of time. But it's very good. I shall send you a link.
Yeah, we'll put that link in the show notes so you can all learn more about our Kathy.
Yes.
Is a secret royal. Yeah.
So in an alternate universe, like, the Tudors didn't really exist. And so time progresses, clearly, because that happens. But the royalty, the royal lines didn't pass down those legitimized children.
Right. Because
they were no longer legitimate. And so new families were created and new lines. And that's how we get King...
The Henshaws.
Yes. That
King Simon and his
Queen Helena.
Yes.
Headcanon accepted.
Yay.
Done. That's our pitch for why you should all just go and watch this if you haven't. If that's
your
thing.
Also really attractive dudes and ladies.
Oh yes.
So many attractive dudes and ladies.
So hot. And there is, like, you remember how we watched this little show called 50 Shades of Grey and we said people could probably keep more clothes on and be hotter. Like, this, you don't have much nudity. You don't actually see. It's just like, it's just so hot. This show is so hot. If that's your thing,
yes,
you should pause because there's so many spoilers. Pause, go watch it, and then come back and hang out with us. And it'll take you about 5 minutes to watch all four seasons because that's what we all did.
You guys clipped through them at an impressive pace, yes. I will say.
Yeah.
I was just like, I can't do anything but watch this show. So,
yep, you know. This is the show that is playing while I do all of my work.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, now that you're all back and you've watched the show, let's blow the spoiler horn and just go for it. Just sort of start at the beginning. You have this whole fight for power where King Simon thinks he's going to get rid of the monarchy. And of course, nobody wants the monarchy. There's this dead son who was the heir. And it's kind of like madness right out of the gate.
Yes.
What? It's like, how do we even start to talk about this?
we
should focus on, sort of like maybe the characters and sort of the twins, Liam and Eleanor, who are like probably early 20s. And they are the problem children of the royal family and sort of this, I'd say, the center of the entire narrative. Even though, like, they feel like everything's sort of focused on them. And so you open with them grieving their brother and suddenly having to perhaps stop clubbing constantly and being those royal
doing
families.
A massive amount of drugs.
Yes,
and
drugs,
showing
alcohol.
Off the royal beaver.
Yes.
Yes, sex. They're having a lot of sex because they are not pure. So they're being, like, basically so antithetical to what the image of the current royal family is, which we all know that it's going on behind the closed doors.
Oh, absolutely.
They pretend that it's not.
Like, Eleanor at the beginning is basically Harry's lost years, right? Like,
yes.
wasn't he in Vegas and, like, playing naked strip poker or something? Like,
Like,
I feel some very common ties there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I mean, the most striking thing to me is the perceived, like, so with the with the real royal family, there's a whole list of like requirements for, like, clothing attire and where hemlines are and arms must always be covered and yada, yada, yada. And clearly that is not existent. Not just for the princess, but for the queen herself. There's lots of boob, lots of shoulders, lots of leg.
Skin-tight dresses.
Open-toed shoes.
Oh,
yeah, she's so hot. So hot. And so that kind of, like, layers over everything, I would almost say, is that idea of what you show versus what you are not allowed to show is loosened significantly, which is is great because we get some incredibly beautiful outfits.
Yeah, like Eleanor is she's wearing like a lot of I can't tell, but like it looks like high end fashion, but fashion that is very like edgy and not in, you know, like sweater sets and
right. It's a Hot Topic meets high fashion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Inspired. Like that punk goth feel.
Eyeliner and stuff. Like, I just think, like, it's just fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. She knows what she likes and is allowed to be herself too. Like there are clearly some events and situations where she will choose to wear different clothing to be more like comfortable or like more along the lines of, hey, I'm a princess right now.
Yep.
But doesn't really like kind of just says fuck it for a lot of other reasons. Mm-hmm. And I totally can't say that right now.
We could if we just make it explicit.
Right. Or just bleep it. Yeah.
And then we have Liam, who is her twin brother, and he is not quite the hot mess, but he's sort of always been the brother who is the next in line because, of course, it has to go to boys.
The heir and a spare. He's the spare.
Yeah, he's the spare. And so now suddenly he is the heir and not sure how he feels about it, but he always kind of wanted it. But you're not allowed to want it.
Oh, talk to Cyrus. You're allowed to want it.
This is mirrored by King Simon and his brother Cyrus, who is the spare and has now fallen back in line because of Simon's kids.
He just wants the power. He doesn't really want to be king, as witnessed by future like ports of
We're spoiling everything, so we can say.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so when he becomes king, clearly he doesn't like to be king. He just likes, you know, to be fawned over and the extra goodies that he gets as king.
Yeah, he's only concerned with, like, the love of the people, which he cannot earn based on how he's acting. But
mm-hmm.
that's all he cares about. He just wants the power and the love and none of the responsibility.
Yep.
Yeah, and the show moves at, like, a fast clip because you kind of expect it and know, but are a little bit surprised that they just like kill King Simon. Gone.
Boom.
And so,
bye,
you know,
Simon.
Yeah, so the show becomes a murder mystery, but then also now you have a battle between Liam and Cyrus, and there's a lot of political maneuvering where everyone's trying to get the throne. But I think the thing that really captures is like you do have so much romance happening at the same time, which I feel like a good soap opera at its heart is all romance.
Absolutely.
There's always, everyone is always in some sort of romantic entanglement, from the king down to the bodyguards.
Mm-hmm.
We all say. But it also, I will say this, it feels kind of natural. A lot of times, like I'm thinking of like 90210 and Saved by the Bell, it kind of felt very forced. Like, oh, these two now get to hang out and date together. Whereas this, all of these relationships, it feels so natural and almost real, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and like I actually kind of like that, like for Liam does not have the same love interest the entire show, and it is a little bit convenient that he seems to get a new one every season.
Yeah, every season.
Yes.
But a new one.
Yeah, but at the same time, when you are at that age and you're dating, and they don't actually, when the relationships end, like, so his first one with the dancer.
Ophelia,
that's
you
right.
You can't call her a dancer.
She's not a dancer.
She's not a dancer.
She is an actor not have
so
been
his
made
first
to play
one
a dancer.
With the relationship with the bad dancer.
Yes, thank you.
Like, at the end of it, they kind of have, she's not a bad person. It just ends. She goes to New York to not be a dancer. The only way she gets to be a dancer in New York is because there is political maneuvering behind the scenes,
right?
That got her in.
Like, I don't care that poor like artistic director of that company in New York was like bribed or blackmailed or whatever by what's her name, Gemma. No, like, you can't put her in a company.
She's
the worst.
So I'm sure Kirsten was complaining to Annette too, but
so much.
It was so bad. Like, we're talking end of Save the Last Dance level bad dancing to assume that she's like overwhelmed by the company and all the other dancers are just so impressed with her skills. Like, no, they could not even fix that with a body double.
Like, just so bad. And like, on top of everything else, her like long hair is just flapping around all unprofessional. Like, I just can't handle it.
No. And the clothing choices, like, you do not wear a flannel wrapped around your waist to do a contemporary dance.
No. I just wish they'd never showed her dancing. That would have been just better. Never show her. Yes. And then we believe that she was good.
Yep. Yep.
Sorry, end rant.
Like, that's why she was booted. We had to boot her off the show. We were not Team Ophelia after we saw her dance.
No. Nope. I mean, I did like them together, and I feel like if Simon hadn't died, and had, there'd be no show if he had just, you know, been able to abolish the monarchy.
Can we spoil this? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like her dad kills the king.
So it gets there's really that messy. Problem.
And then, so that would have been, you know, like, enough incentive to not be dating anymore, I feel
yeah.
like.
Yeah. So, but that their relationship actually kind of has, like, a natural feeling arc where she ends up going to New York and he thinks he can go but can't go because ultimately he has his duty back home. So it's
a selfless thing, right? Like, he takes her to New York. He lets her go live her stupid, non-realistic dream. Right. And they both sort of move on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I don't even remember. So basically, yes, each dating relationship that he has is kind of a plot point. It's kind of a way to, like, further on Liam's story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they don't ever end fake. Like, it wraps up well. It's not like, oh, she, you know, dies in a car accident or something, like, in the middle of the
deaths are never deaths in soap operas, except they like, they really legit killed the king off.
Yeah, they did.
You know, we saw the body.
They stabbed him good.
Yeah. So yeah. And then, like, I think also he has the there's, like, so many people in this list of characters. I'm like, what's her name?
Who are you thinking of, Wilhelmina or Catherine?
Wilhelmina.
I loved Wilhelmina. I wanted them to be together. I was so team Wilhelmina.
Wilhelmina is, it's like a little bit of unrequited love, because I think they have kind of a nice friendship, but then they don't actually ever really connect in the same way.
I feel like Catherine is just a pawn who has no real character development. Like, I believe Liam loves her, but she literally is introduced to create all this tension between Liam and, spoiler, Robert, who's not actually dead. A psychopath.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And so I really struggle with, like, they just brought her back. She's this sort of one-dimensional, pretty blonde girl who gets tugged around and used.
Well, yeah, and she had had more character development, because I feel like she could have been a really good character.
Yes. Push her to having affection for whoever is convenient, and it doesn't feel like a really strong through line as to which of the brothers she actually loves. And until the end, when they kind of, like, draw the line in the sand and it is Liam.
What, right, because they go back and they're like, hey, these pieces were discussed to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it feels very forced, because it is forced.
Yeah. It's, like, very plot driven. So I think of all of his relationships, that one with Catherine is the least interesting. However, sadly, I did not know this when I watched the show. It's like, it ends, and it just ends, and a lot of things are hanging, and we're very sad.
Terrible.
About this. And I didn't know when I was watching, and I was watching the last episode of season 4 thinking, okay, it's going to wrap up. There's sort of, like, all the tension. We think we're going to, like, everyone's going to win and good's going to triumph. And then I keep watching the clock going, oh no. Oh no. Like, no, nothing resolves. And it's sort of like the end of The Princess Bride in the book, when everything goes to pot. We'll say pot instead of swear words. and like, they're driving off with Catherine, who's pregnant with Liam and a potential...
Lucius has her, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched again in real time. So this wasn't like they didn't announce that another season wasn't coming for, I think, right. at least a couple months. Oh. So it ended and it was like, wow, that's crazy. And then like you just wait and hope and then your dreams are dashed several months later.
That's yeah. So I didn't realize because so when you go in and you're just like you hit play next or whatever and it goes. And then at the end of the episode, it'll show, you know, a little pop up of next episode coming.
And you're like, well, where is it?
it popped up Psych. And I was like, what?
Oh, no.
And then I started Googling and I got very, very, very sad and emotional that we won't know what happens. And that makes me sad because the build up to the wedding with Willem, like this whole plan for a coup, and then the key
piece,
is Wilhelmina, and she doesn't go with the plan, and you're just like, what?
Yeah, Wilhelmina betrays everyone for power, as one does.
Or my headcanon is something that we did not see that we would have seen had there been another season is something happened between her and Robert where he
right.
coerced Black. Whatever he did, he was Robert.
Robert is very smart.
He knows. He knows things. And he saw it coming somehow, or he just wanted insurance or whatever the case may be. I feel like I believe that Wilhelmina wanted to do the right thing. And I think there's more to the story that we just will never know.
Yeah. And that makes me very sad.
Me too.
You know, give me a Firefly style ending.
Because I feel like you could come back two, three years later and skip a lot of shit happens.
Yeah.
Now can we boot Robert off the throne and give it to Liam like we all want?
Right.
Yeah.
Hashtag King Liam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably never going to happen, but we can dream it.
Mm-hmm. We can also plot it in our minds.
Who knew that we would be the anti-Moises in this and be like, give me a movie.
Let's talk about Robert then. So Robert shows up in season three.
Yeah, mid-season three.
He's in 21 episodes out of 40.
Okay, so it has to be season three.
Also, hold on. That also includes, like, the flashbacks and things. So hold on. Let me look.
Not that it matters. But.
No, but it totally matters. We are providing authenticity to our listeners. If my website would load.
This is not amateur hour, guys.
Season three.
Yeah, because he's definitely there for, like, the Christmas episode, and that's sort of mid-season, and he's newly back then.
Yeah. Yeah, season three.
So season three, we have just when we think Liam is going to be king, finally, we've disposed of Cyrus.
Oh, bubble boy.
Yes, and we are going to have Liam be king. It just seems to be trending in that direction because Cyrus is still king. And the heir shows up again. He's been lost on a desert island, as one does.
It happens all the time, guys. All the time.
Yes. And, of course, in the meantime, Liam has fallen in love with his ex-girlfriend, and she's a commoner. There's a lot of falling in love with commoners, which feels like a critique of the current monarchy. That maybe that should be permitted more and not be such a terrible thing. But, yeah, so he shows up again and starts wreaking havoc. And so... You think like, oh, as you said, compared to Schitt's Creek, the family's making progress. You're starting to see a bit of a heart in Cyrus, even Queen Helena. You're just seeing them kind of come together a little bit. It's getting to a nice spot. And then you just throw in a Robert who is like the ultimate villain for two seasons. And you knew it was coming. I think as soon as you found out he's
dead.
You
definitely called it.
I was like, in the first episode,
totally
like,
called it.
He's not dead. But also, he was just inevitably going to come back to, like, it needed that drama. And the great thing is, everyone else gets an arc. he doesn't. He is just like his arc. You think maybe he's never going to be okay. He's going to be a villain and screw everything up.
I don't know though. I didn't see him as a villain when he first showed up. See, I totally believed the views from Liam and Eleanor. Like, I was like, okay, awesome. Liam gets to go back and like support the family with this new idea of like how he can, you know, be a part of the world, I guess, yeah. Without necessarily being king. So I was really excited that he could like have these opportunities in place without the stress of having to be king. And then realized after the next couple episodes how not that was going to happen and how terrible Robert was.
As a middle child, I felt really bad for Liam. I was like, oh, but Len is just so excited to have her big brother back that it was really hard not to want to love him the way that she does.
I'm just a heartless person.
No, you're just like, you're a suspicious
cynical. I'm suspicious and cynical. Yeah.
You're suspicious.
I did not expect him to be as villainous as he was, because what I love is like, so at first you're diabolical. Like, he's kind of a jerk. And he's kind of like not so nice to Liam. And then you find out that he's really a mastermind villain of like Bond movie level, you know?
Yeah. It's one thing to like have a bit of like that brotherly, you know, one-upping and being a jerk to your brother. Everybody does that with their siblings.
Right.
But he just like takes things to a whole other level.
Whole other level. It's like Cyrus on crack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And smart. Like Cyrus is only... I'd say he's like using 25% of his brain because of all the drugs that he does.
Right.
Whereas Robert is like really crystal clear.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows what he wants. He knows how to get it. He knows how to do what he needs to do with no guilt. No. Qualms,
well, he was raised on it, right? He was raised to be king.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think, you know, King Robert wanted
you say that
sorry I apologize, that's not who I meant. That
King Simon,
yes, thank you. I'm terrible with names.
It's okay.
So
it's
terrible,
right. We'll edit out, course, some of our bad at names parts,
right? Well, and then he dies so early that like he's not at the top of the list, so yes. I can't like look at the before King, some of the flashback episodes where Simon is talking to Robert and he talks about abolishing the monarchy with Robert because he realizes that Robert is not going to be a good king.
He's a psychopath?
Yes.
Yep.
So Simon knew. Simon could tell and figured, you know, Liam and Len wouldn't be good either, just because of their personality traits and how they were showing up. And it just, he's like, yeah, let's just get rid of this because it's not doing anybody any good. I'm just done.
Well, and Robert is capable of such a long game, which we should have known. Like, how do you suspect? I knew he's coming back. Did I think he intentionally like put himself on a desert island for how long?
Right.
For a master plan. Like, that is like respect, dude. Dedication to your long game, which is so funny, because just imagining that you would do that is hilarious, but also
to eat the fish and stuff for that long. Like, at least pack and plan out some food drops.
Or maybe he wasn't there the whole time and was brought back, and we just don't know that yet. Because like,
I mean, that's
but you know, the ability to leak that story, like, I feel like he really did sit on that desert island,
plotting, scheming, and growing a beard.
So you know, King Robert, he becomes king. He Prince Robert, King Robert, sits on a desert island, kills his own father. Comes back, and that's like that's his alibi, pretty solid alibi. And then he starts taking over everything and like basically is trying to become like the ruling monarch and a tyrant at by the end of the series, which is bananas. Mm-hmm. And you're just he's abolishing the government and taking away fair elections. And I just found, for me at this time, it was super stressful on top of all of the other things like going on in the world where you're just like, I feel like this stuff could actually happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Stop it, Robert. I hate you so much.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, and throwing it back to my, like, knowledge of English monarchical history. That's not a word, but
royal?
It's fine.
Royal history?
Royal, thank you. King Richard II abolished the parliament when there was this whole like big thing, and so that is like, yeah, so Richard II lived a whole long life, and that's where this line comes from. So that's how Robert knew about it and how to do it.
Sneaky.
Super sneaky.
Well, and it does feel like something that would come out of, you know, sort of medieval royal history and not modern royal history, where like in a lot of ways our current monarchy is basically a figurehead, yeah, right? So they don't have any actual power. But I love how he does it through sort of legal means and sets things up to make people think it's a good idea. Yeah. I'm like, he is a sneaky,
well, because you have to have person. The will of the people behind you, yeah, to be able to do something successful. Just because you can legally do something doesn't mean it will work if you don't have the people behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But then we know he is a jerk because of how poorly he treats Catherine, who is the our pawn between
us. Oh, my gosh.
And he totally plays her. And
well, and he manipulates Len and
his
makes
mom.
Trouble for her and Jasper.
Yeah.
Do not accept.
No. Do not. Okay, so we haven't talked about Jasper. Can we talk about Jasper
now? I don't know how we've made it this long.
Well, because we're being
responsible.
Yes, because we know once we start talking about Jasper,
we'll never
we won't stop.
Do we want to talk about Queen Helena first then? Because I really enjoy her as well.
She is so great as a She's character.
Amazing. I will forever think of her when I think of Figgy Pudding.
Yes.
And the joke, get figgy with it.
Yep. Yep. That got, so she has an incredible arc in herself, with her love life, with her being a parent, with her being queen, and what she finds is important. And I love the redeeming arc of it where she, because at one point she fakes the fact that the twins are illegitimate so that Cyrus can become king.
And so that she can stay queen.
How many times did you yell at this?
I yelled so many times.
Oh.
Just get retested. Right? Retest yourself. Retest yourself.
Why be in charge of yourself. Like,
don't believe anyone. Because they make that, they play that out for so long.
So long. Like, but I also understand, because why would you not believe your mom?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
because she's Helena. Right.
Yeah. And like, they know that she's manipulative and whatnot, but she's still your mom and they're still very trustworthy. And so I get it. I get why you wouldn't want to do it. But the head of bodyguard, I would have probably chosen to do it myself, but that's fine. I'm not in charge.
That's not how drama works.
True. They've read the script. They know how to do it. They know how it goes. I do enjoy that whole part where they're going to get retested, but they can't find anything of Simon's that they can do.
Right. Oh my gosh. The
break
DNA.
Into Cyrus's and steal his testicle. That was
testicle.
So
such an amazing, that whole scene is so good.
If you're listening to this without having watched the show and you just heard that line.
Yeah.
From they find his testicle and you're not thinking you need to watch this yet.
Then maybe it's not a show for you.
Then maybe, yeah, maybe you should just carry on to some
and
other
I,
show.
And I love the
title of this episode. They found his testicle.
I don't remember what they call the doppelganger stripper company.
Isn't it just the body double?
No.
Like a Cyrus double?
No, well, so they pull all of the body doubles from, like, it's a stripper, like an escort company. And it has an amazing name, and I cannot.
Oh, I don't remember.
I totally
that.
Missed that.
While Kathy's looking that up, I will say that I love James Hill in general, and I love that he like helped get Cyrus out of his room so that they could search it, because he is an excellent security lead for the family.
Yeah. So yeah, James Hill is one of the bodyguards, but then eventually becomes head of security for the family, and he is such a good character.
He's lovely.
He and Len. Him.
Oh, the two of them. Just, I love it.
Well, it's so paternal, but also just non-judgmental, because there are many times when Len is being judged for all her habits, and he just kind of gently nudges her in the right direction, and it's just so lovely.
Yeah, and he trusts her, right? Like, he lets her do her thing, whether that means, like, you know, he actually tells her at one point, like, if you just need a little bit of time and space, you can tell me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Which is how you treat some, like, you don't treat someone like they're a prisoner, otherwise they're going to act like a prisoner.
Yep.
So.
Well, and his advice of, you know, you find the things that are your problems, and you can deal with them one at a time, and you don't have to solve everything all at once. Oh, we all need a James Hill in our lives.
I agree.
There's that scene where he's eating pie in the diner with Jasper and the guy whose name I forget.
Marcus?
Maybe. No.
That's the other hot bodyguard. They're all hot bodyguards.
Yeah. Anyways, I enjoy that. And then the scene like with the hotel room where Len is saving her friend. And yeah, I just feel like he really, James steps up in a lot of ways. And I always loved him. Mm-hmm. He's one of my favorites. He's like one of my top favorite characters. And he's only in the last two seasons, I think. He might come in season, like in partway through season two.
Yeah.
Okay, can I just say that the name of the show being The Royals is really
super helpful when you're Googling?
Making it so hard. I don't need to know where Meghan Markle gets her body double from. That is not helping.
Where does she, though, now?
Well, I don't know. I didn't click the link.
Oh, darn. Your targeted ads are going to be really screwed up now, Kathy.
I know. But you know what? I'm okay with this. But now I need to watch one of the episodes and see if I can figure it out.
And let us know, because I honestly don't remember.
One of my favorite relationships of Helena's is when she accidentally has sex. Well, she doesn't accidentally have sex, but with her new private secretary.
Oh,
she thinks he is an escort. And then she has sort of like this, he's like her private sex secretary with benefits. And
yes.
I was kind of on his team because they were cute together.
I also loved the Hugh Grant joke they made when the real escort showed up.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name? Huge something? Huge Grant?
Probably Huge Grant.
I think it was just Huge Grant. And like there was this lovely like little moment. I was like, oh, well played.
Elizabeth Hurley being his ex-wife.
I think. But they're on very, very good terms considering what happened many years ago.
If you don't know, Google it.
Yeah. Queen Helena also has that relationship with the very rich. Is it an American businessman sort of near the end of the series?
Yes.
Where she gets to, you know, she gets to be pampered and she travels around with him. And I quite enjoyed that for her, too.
Yeah.
Where she kind of like let go of things a little bit. Yeah. And just sort of focused on herself.
Exactly. Put herself first. And it wasn't about power. It wasn't about being queen. It was about being, you know, a woman who wanted to spend time with this guy. And
yeah, and that was really nice, even though, you know, he was married and so that didn't work. But
yeah, things never work.
No.
She also slept with Sebastian, which was problematic.
Right. But yeah, I got nothing.
That's like that's a Helena backslide, right? That's you don't sleep with your daughter's friends, Queenie. Like, you just don't do it.
Yes.
Even if they're really hot when they're dressed like a tiger.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that also brings us to other friends of her daughter who she had relationships with.
Yay!
That's a problem.
That is a problem.
Shall we get to the heart of the matter? So when Kirsten pitched this show to me, it was in part because she sent me a picture of Tom Austin and suggested him as the movie version of a book series we both love with Veronica Speedwell and the hero being Stoker. And I was like, who is this guy? And what is that from? And like literally immediately after started watching this show. And when you first meet Jasper Frost, the bodyguard of Prince Liam first. No,
Princess Eleanor.
It was Princess Eleanor. So he is her new bodyguard. And I was expecting like, oh, yay. But he's kind of a jerk who is blackmailing her and makes her think he's got video of them having sex after she's been high and drunk and all this. And so you're just like, he's trash.
Yep.
Just trash. Handsome, yeah. Handsome trash.
Yeah. It's a really hard sell at first.
So
it's awful. It's so awful.
But then, you know, that relationship falls apart pretty quickly, really, in that first season. And he gets booted to the curb. And I was like, what? I don't get this. Why are we supposed to like him? Jasper, I don't understand. And you kind of have to keep waiting. So what was your reactions to him?
I mean, that was the same thing. So Annette, when you mentioned, like, you were talking about it and stuff, and I was like, okay, cool. The bodyguard? You mean the one that was really shy and then was a complete jerk?
Yeah, you're like Liam's bodyguard, Marcus, who is also very
great. Love him.
I love Marcus, too. He's so nice, which is also mm-hmm. really great. But I was just like, I don't know who you're talking about. And then didn't believe it. And then all of that. And so it was...
It's a slow burn, really.
Oh,
and
it is.
And that burn feels so good when it resolves. Because it's such a good transition. Although, like, you think that he's, you know, he's solidified and you're just falling in love with him and you love his relationship with Len. And then you learn the backstory for the big con that was happening. Yes.
Another long game.
Yeah, they really did. For a show that ended so abruptly and poorly and makes me angry, but we're not talking about that. They really planned out a lot of the plot lines and the stories. And I don't mm-hmm. know if it's luck or good skills at like maneuvering and adjusting the goalposts or mm-hmm. or what, but it really, the long game in so many plot lines was really well done.
Yeah, for sure.
So what is Jasper's long game?
Love.
Yeah. Taking care of the person that he loves. He wrote a freaking love fairy tale story for
her. He solved her father's murder. Yeah.
And, but this is all before you know that he actually originally came to steal from her and like get her to like
whatever. He also foils that, so he does.
What I actually really love is that he foils it. He has like kind of a pretty solid. I feel like he has his transformation fairly early in the show, but has messed things up so royally that he has to come back so far. And the thing I like is that one, Len has like no time for it. She's like, nope, not my problem, I'm out, goes off, lives her life, and mm-hmm. She does not save him.
Yes,
he has to save himself. And I think
yes
that if it had been the other way around where Len had like quote unquote fixed him, because that's such a trope where like you meet the right woman and she fixes you, but she's basically like, you're a mess, you're out, I may have had a few feelings for you, but you have a series of things that have just piled up on each other and it's too much, I'm out. And she Mother's really vagina. Is out for quite Deal a long breaker. time.
Yeah
totally. Stealing, sleeping with, well, not sleeping with her mother, yeah, and like there's so many problems that he has to kind of figure out, so that his arc and her arc, like their story, is totally my favorite.
Absolutely,
this series.
Well, and what I like about it is they grow as a couple, but they also grow as people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just as Eleanor doesn't try and fix Jasper doesn't try and fix Eleanor. If anything, yeah. He points out how what some people perceive as like problems with her are actually her being a badass. Sorry. Awesome. Her being awesome and just doing what she wants and not sort of worrying about that perception and what are you supposed to be and how does a princess act and how does she talk. And so I really enjoy that support that they provide each other. It's not a perfect relationship. Even when they sort of do find that sweet spot, they're still struggling, you know, with sort of that commitment part of things and being truly intimate with their feelings and not just, you know, the sex part, which they're obviously very good at.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think they really do, like, they don't hold each other back. I love, there's that speech. He makes a couple of excellent speeches. He makes a speech to the chick whose name I forget when she steals the gem and when he gets it back, which is lovely. But there's a speech, must be at the end of season 3, I think, when she's going off to do that work with the hotels and the decorating. And he basically tells her, like, I'm not going to ask you to stay. I want you to go and do what makes you happy. But I love you and I support you and I'm here for you. And I want you to live your life, but I don't want you to walk away from us. And I think that is one of my favorite moments, because it's mm-hmm. such a beautiful way to approach something difficult, right? He could have begged her to stay. He could have begged to go with her, but he didn't. Yeah. He just let her know that he loves her and supports her and that it's her choice and that his choice is to love and support her. And I just, I get like all emotional just thinking about it, because they're just so wonderful.
It reminds me a lot of the arc in Frozen 2 of Kristoff and how he's like,
yes.
Hey, I'm here. I love you. I will do whatever you need me to do to support mm-hmm. you regardless of my own feelings, which I think is really, really mm-hmm. special.
Yeah. And you don't see that enough.
Yeah.
With, like, men don't ever really truly admit that they're not honest about how they feel. They can't take that step back and not be the savior. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really, like, I mean, Jasper is literally a bodyguard who carries a gun, and it's his job to save people. Yeah. And when it comes to Len, he understands that she's perfectly capable of saving herself.
Yes.
And this is in complete contrast to Beck, the... Well, and you were laughing at me because when he enter Beck and he's like the perfect guy, right? He's
you were
like
very
the
pro
right
Beck
status
at the
and stuff. And too. But he like hit the first time we see him, he's like trying. He's like supportive. He's being nice. He takes away her drugs and tries to connect to her on a personal level. And is just like, look, you need to take a step back. Everything's really hard right now. You're mourning your dad. And then he kind of disappears. Well, before he disappears, we find out he's married. And you're like, okay, strike one, Beck.
Not a great option. Carry on.
So he comes back later and he's left his wife and kind of implies it's for Len, which you should not, don't do that to a girl. Just leave someone for your own reasons. Don't leave them for someone else. Like, ugh. But then he's doing exactly the opposite of what Kirsten's saying Jasper was doing. And he's trying to change her, trying to control her, trying to make her stop drugs, make her stop partying, make her stop do this, make her be that perfect little princess that he doesn't want her. He wants her position and power. And as more and more things are revealed, we realize he is so much more of a Robert.
Yes.
Oh, those two, no wonder they're friends. My God.
Yeah, exactly. So he is like such the exact opposite of Jasper. And at first, I think they did a good job of setting them up as like, you should hate Jasper and love Beck. Beck is the one that's on her team. And then slowly like disintegrate all your expectations around that. And
it's such a great script flip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we know he's garbage.
Such garbage.
Well, and like everyone is rooting for Beck. I mean, Liam is like, sorry, Jasper, like Beck's a really great guy. They've known each other for years. I don't know what to tell you. And Rob's like, no, I do not accept this. It's not okay.
Yeah. So I just, you know, and then when you get to the point where they're exchanging the love letters in the book in the library.
Oh, Jasper, just like and the Lynn, and queen like, and her bodyguard oh, did. My gosh. Yes.
So beautiful. So
and when they at first both got James to write them
I
for
know.
Them.
Oh,
the Lucerno de Bergia.
I just love that. It's so great. It's like there's this really perfect romantic thing that they're doing, but they just don't do it right the first time. They have to like both screw it up a little bit, and it's just classic them. And then when they find out, they like blame each other, but it's like, you did the same thing I did.
Yeah. Well, and then it goes from being like the perfect words to being the honest words, and that mm-hmm. the honest expression of your feelings is way more romantic than the poetic, perfect words from someone else.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, like, you know, just...
Ah, just so many feelings. Also, I know, Annette, you were not crazy about Alice in the Palace.
No, she grew on me. I was like, oh, like, annoying kid, you're driving me crazy.
I think it was a little... much. She was a little too precocious, a little too yes. given freedom, which I didn't really love. But I grew to enjoy her and her. I think when they took it back a step, so less running around them wild in the palace and ruining all mm-hmm. the things, and became more of a like a purpose for it to connect Len and Jasper.
Yeah, like I loved her and Jasper's relationship.
Yeah,
like when they the Christmas episode when she helps him, like she comes up with the idea for his gift yes. and the perfect little picture book, and you know Frosty the caterpillar and the princess, and like that part I really enjoyed. It was nice to see Jasper connecting again with someone else, right? Because I think he struggles with that a little bit, right? From where, you know, the way that he was raised and how he grew up. And so that was like he obviously has a really, really strong connection with Eleanor. He and Liam kind of bond a little bit too, but it was nice to see those two kind of have this like sweet little.
And speaking of how he grew up and his family, his dad.
Oh, his dad.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, so terrible. So good.
So perfectly cast. Yes. I don't remember the name of the actor, but well done,
and,
you.
And so fantastic with how he kept showing up in the different episodes and different areas and ends up, you know, in love or quote unquote in love, but like dating Joan.
Is it Dutchie? Yeah, Dutchie. The grandmother?
Yeah, well, and he's pulling a Jasper where he comes in. Well, not quite, because Jasper didn't pretend to be a royal aristocrat from Italy, I think.
Yes.
And, he, you know, you show up and you're like, oh, my God, Dad.
What are you accent. Doing? Yeah.
So bad.
But you know what I loved? I love that Eleanor encouraged Jasper to bond with his father. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. she didn't judge him. She could have easily been like, you're right, he's trash. Let's kick him out. She was very like, she's like, I want to talk to him. I want to get to know him. I want, you know, I thought that was really sweet. And I think that's a strength of Eleanor's, is that she doesn't just judge people, you know, right off the bat. She's willing to look deeper and see that like there are flaws, of course, but there's more going on, and family is really important, right? Yeah. She's very like family driven, I think.
Well, and what I like too is that it's like adding this sort of hodgepodge of different characters across class, across families, and they're kind of coming together as a unit towards the end, because we're dealing with the plot of Robert, which we're revealing he's like, oh, he's bad. No, he's worse. No, he's literally trying to be a tyrant. Like, he's you're kind of like, worst. How bad can it be? So, yeah, and nobody believes Liam at first. And slowly,
know,
you know, you have the,
so
the coming together. Liam. Yeah. And at the end of the season, you have this sort of crew of people. One of my favorite things, too, by the way, is when I think Len keeps coming in. It's like, guys, stop talking about our plot. Like, the doors open and people coming by and everything.
There are other people in this castle.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, there's cameras everywhere. There's everything. Like, they're basically surveilled all the time.
All the time.
And it's sort of a joke, but then in the end, it ends up being, like, that Robert knows everything. Mm. And you know, they're set up to be like they're all split up at the end of season four. And I'm sure the next season would have been about bringing them back together to again confront Robert. In my head, that's how the story ends. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of predictable. So I kind of feel like it's fine. I feel like it was worth watching all of the shows, even like the show, even without getting that resolution, because I feel in my head, everyone ends up happily ever after, except for Robert, who's rotting in.
He just does not deserve it. I know Tom Austin posted, I think it was after they announced there would be no next season. Mm-hmm. He shared a photo of him and Alexandra Park and just said, like, you guys know that we lived happily ever after, right? Aww. Like, there's no question. And that was so nice.
They did get, like, engaged at the end of the
season
before they split everything.
I feel like
up.
They had a really lovely finale, those two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel
in the middle of like all of this craziness.
That gives me some satisfaction. So
mm-hmm. Also, that episode has that brilliant moment where they put on the music so they can all talk in the room about the plot.
Right.
And they like stop to drum it out.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's like I watch Collins, it and then I like, Phil yes, Collins. And then I rewind it and I just keep watching it and watching it because I love it so
it's
much.
So good.
It's the most random thing and it's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any final thoughts about this show?
I think if any of this, if you haven't seen it and any of this sounds interesting to you, go and watch it. Like,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It's very rewatchable, too.
Oh, absolutely. I've rewatched it several times. The reason I brought it up, Annette, with you, I think, and while I was reading those books that you'd bought me, but I had been rewatching it at the same time I started reading the books. And of course, I made the connection with Tom Austin as an actor. But I think it's just, yeah, like there are so many moments that are like laugh out loud funny. There are moments where like I'm a gasper. I literally gasp. And I do it every time. Like, and I've watched this series more than once. And I still sometimes I forget. And I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot they did that. So I think it's just one of those really enjoyable things that, you know, maybe if you're struggling right now, like I know a lot of people are because times in the world are really difficult and they're awful and we just need a bit of an escape. For me, this show is an escape that I just turn to a lot and I really enjoy.
Yeah, can I just say, you know, ditto?
You sure can.
Yeah, it just is so delightful. And I think this is a perfect note to wrap up our episode on. And if any of you are watching it and want to chat with us, let us know.
Please
we'll
do.
Yes. We are open to talking.
This is just
about
the tip of the iceberg, guys. We have so much more we could talk about.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There are so many stories and characters and interactions and moments that we did not even mention. And it's mm-hmm. just a delightful show full of hope and beautiful clothing.
And beautiful people.
And very beautiful people.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Kathy.
Thank you for having me, Annette, and thank you for forcing this show on me.
You can thank Kirsten. Kirsten and I have been friends for so long, it's like we just make each other watch stuff all the time, and we have very similar tastes, so it's very conducive.
That's wonderful.
It's very true.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, thank you for making me watch this, Kirsten.
You guys are welcome. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
It's like, what are we going to all watch next and force upon all our listeners? So until next time, stay safe, agents. Agents of Smooch is part of the Incomparable Network. If you are enjoying our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the Smooch Agency, you can become a member of The Incomparable at theincomparable.com/members. Members can choose to support us and any other shows on the network, and you get extra perks like hanging out in the members-only Slack channel and bonus content such as our growing list of incomprehensible Agents of Smooch tipsy commentaries. Thank you for listening. Your next mission will be coming to you soon.